This verse came to mind as I was preparing this lesson in our continuing study of the tabernacle. And these verses are in Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11, where Paul writes this, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." You know, that's wonderful to know that love is based upon knowledge and judgment, or that knowledge and judgment are foundations that are there in love. And then it says that ye may approve things that are excellent. There's a reason why you are able to approve things that are excellent. And that is knowledge and judgment that is underpinning love. Excellence. As Christians, as children of God, we are to approve things that are excellent. That is something that is alien to what is taking place in the world, because there is a great leveling that is being taken place in the world, and that leveling is not towards excellence, but that leveling is toward mediocrity. But God tells us to approve things that are excellent, and He gives us the wherewithal to do such a thing. We're not left helpless. We're given the tools by which to approve things excellent, and that is God's Word. Now, our study of the tabernacle and its furnishings reveals to us God's singular desire to show His exclusiveness, for in all details of construction, He is one way about it, and that one way is His way. You know, God has never tapped me on the shoulder and asked me my opinion on things. He's never said, "Lud, I'd like to have some advice." Anybody here that has happened to? But God is God, and as God, He is sovereign in all things. He is the one and only one who makes this world rotate on an unseen axis with a steadiness that only He knows how to provide. You know, I go to the shore, and it's amazing that vast, vast ocean is stayed from coming ashore, and it's allowed to go a few feet here and there. Even in the tsunami, you think about how little it was allowed to go. The vast Pacific, I remember crossing the Pacific as a Navy officer back in 1961 on the USNS Barrett. My wife was with me. We were being transported to Japan. Our little boy was with us. Now, you get into a plane and you're over there in about 10, 12 hours, but it took us 15 days to cross that vast ocean. 15 days. Had a little room and tiny little bathroom. No windows, of course. I was, at the time, a junior grade lieutenant. You know, when you're a junior grade lieutenant, you don't get a window. But that vast ocean was permitted to come ashore by feet. God's sovereign over the ocean. Every part of the universe, every star, every planet, every meteor, every atom obeys His will. And without His approval, they dare not go their own way. They go according to God's will. And we're told by him, all things consist, all things meaning all things with nothing excluded. But you know, there's an enemy of God. He hates God. He hates God with an utter hate, an unending hate. And the scripture reveals this enemy to us as Satan, who wishes to usurp this consistency by attempting to make that which is good into evil, and that which is evil into good. Now, it's so apparent these days what is taking place in our world today, because we who have been around for a good bit, and even if you've been around 20 years, you see that Satan is trying to change the definition of things that were good and calling them evil, and things that were evil and calling them good. Don't you see that? We are seeing the attempt by the devil of a great leveling of God's creation, and the leveling is coming in like a flood. What's happening to marriage? Well, it's being leveled. Marriage was up here, a high institution, an honorable institution, a God-given institution. The devil doesn't like it because it's God-given and he wishes to destroy it, so he's leveling it. God has made man and women only to become one, but Satan moves to level this so that any choice of any individual or group can become one. There's no stopping that in this world, it seems. It's politically correct, and good will be turned into evil in the schools as children are taught this evil. God has made the man to be the head of the home, commanding submissiveness on the part of the woman. That's in the Bible. I didn't say it. It's not my idea. If you don't like it, argue with God. But Satan sees to it that the word obey is taken out of the marriage vows, as we saw was true in the royal wedding that took place this week. How many stayed up till, what, 3 o'clock to watch the royal wedding? Nobody will admit it. I watched it later. I was thrilled at it. You know what I like about the royal family or the royal system? It fights the leveling that is going on in the world. But Satan wishes to destroy that also. You know, it's so nice to see people dressed up in their finery. I even liked the ladies' hats. Some of them were really quite a joy to see. But most of them were quite nice. Beautiful dresses. The queen was decked out in her yellow outfit with the beautiful hat, had a smile on her face. I like to see the queen smiling. But you know, Satan wishes to level that. Satan wishes to have classless societies where everybody's equal. But you know what happens with that? Everybody's equally low. Everybody's equally mediocrity. And that's what happens. But you know, taking that word obey out of the vows, it's so amazing how proud people are of that, because they say, oh, how liberating that is. Well, liberating from God's word. Anything that liberates you from the chains of God's word is good, they say. They meaning the devil, Satan. For why must the woman opt to obey when all are equal in authority in Satan's domain? But God made men and women to differ in many ways. They're God-made. Isn't it wonderful that God makes diversity? And Satan comes about, I hate diversity. I hate everything that God proposes. I'm going to put it down. And without God in your heart, you're on his side. Don't you sense that? God made men and women to differ in many ways, and that difference was to even be seen in appearance. Oh, not today. You go down to Walmart and you walk behind several people. You don't know whether they're female or male. Maybe you don't want to know. But men wearing clothes different from women. But Satan brings in his level and promotes no differences here. For gender is God-made, and anything God-made is anathema to Satan. Down with gender is the mantra of this age, for gender is God-made. You men be men, and you women be women. You know, the term ladies is disappearing. Do you know that? When's the last time you guys have heard the word ladies? You guys. Boy, that came in like a flood. Where'd that come from? That came from the pits of hell, because it's gender neutral. You say, well, that's nothing. Well, that's how the devil operates. He creeps in unawares. He throws this at you, and oh, that sounds good. It's gender neutral. God didn't intend for things to be gender neutral. Satan brings in his level. I remember growing up with the old communist maxim, from each according to his ability, to each according to his need. Oh, we were so afraid of the communists. We don't want them over here. Well, they're creeping in. But you know, even in that statement, we see an individual responsibility, not the forceful taking from the individual by the government to give to another individual. Giving to the poor is to be an act of love from the hand of God through his people, not an act of theft by the ruler. The pastor talked about looking for a need up there. Perhaps there's a church up there that we could help. We open up our wallets, we open up our purses as an act of love. In answer to God's prompting, we send that up there as our help. An individual choice. Worker groups also wish to see that reward is given not by excellence of work, but because the worker belongs to a certain group. You know, I remember that parable. I don't know if it was a parable, but remember that parable where the Lord handed out the talents? You know, the one that made 10, if the Lord was doing that today, he'd say, give me those 10. I'm going to give it to this poor one who buried it under the tree. That's how they would do it today. But what did he do? He took the one from the one and gave it to the 10. That's exactly opposite the way it is today. Turned around, isn't it? Good is evil and evil is good. You know, God operates as a husbandman. And he's looking for the most profitable crop. If he operated according to Satan, he'd take your salvation away and give it to one that doesn't have it or that doesn't want it. God rewards hard work and does not promote the lazy, but Satan promotes the taking from honest labor and giving it to those who refuse to labor. That's today's society. You know, the biggest leveler that is taught today is that we have all come from the same muck and mire and evolved into what we are today. How'd you do it? How'd you come from the muck and mire? Look at you. You're sitting in the pews and somehow someone says you came from the muck and mire. How'd you do it? Well, I just put my mind to it. I was this little tiny amoeba. Just put my mind to it. Shout out something and shout out another thing, and 14 million years later, I had a head. So why should one evolved creature be ahead of another evolved creature in anything? Why should a child be under the rule of an adult? For they are both evolved animals. That's what's coming around. Some are saying that anything alive is equal to anything else that is alive. If you have rights, then trees should have rights. They should have equal rights. What gives you the right to chop it down? Are you any better than the tree? All of us are simply animals, and why should one animal have the right to kill another? Well, I'll tell you why, because God said we have dominion. Right there solves the problem. Oh, but I introduced God. We don't do that. Satan wishes to destroy this exclusiveness and level the playing field out with the individual and in with the group. Out with anything that distinguishes the individual and in with anything that distinguishes the group as a whole. Out with individual reward and in with group reward, even if it means confiscating it from the individual. You know, where's our principal? I think you ought to have group grades in the school. You know? This would be much better for the children's psyche. And your child would want to get in with the smart ones, you know? But basically, that's what's taking place. You get in with the smart ones. Get in with the group and rise with the group. Or out with grades, out with scores that put one individual above another, for this is not acceptable in Satan's program. You know, there are a lot of sports activities, the pastor knows this, they don't keep score. Too hard on the individual.
too hard on the psyche to be a loser. You know, walk away from the game. Oh, I'm a loser.
Too hard on you. Well, you know what that ought to do? It ought to be encourage you to become a winner. You know, you can become a winner in God. You can become a winner in Christ. You know, today we are to think globally. We are to think one worldism. And my, there's nothing new under the sun, as Ecclesiastes tells us. For remember the words of God in Genesis to people who also were one-worlders. I guess Satan was as busy then as he's busy now, but God would not allow this to happen, for we read of this in Genesis 11:4, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the children of men builded, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. You know, God made this world a world of nations, of individual sovereign nations, for a purpose. But the devil comes along and says, I hate God. I hate his system. He knows that this system is built upon the evil nature of man, the sinful nature of man. You don't put all power in one. You spread it out. So I'm going to make a change. God knows that a leveling of a people with sinful natures will always result in a people living at the lowest level, for their nature commands this to come about. You know, you have a nature that will command things to come about. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That goes according to your nature. I thought about that, and I remembered the pilgrims. The pilgrims disregarded their nature when they first started, and they set up a system where everybody shared in a commonwealth. They tried this leveling and soon found out that their sinful nature did not permit this. You know, only God can bring out the best in individuals, and that comes by a dying of the old nature and a new birth of a new nature that is the product of the Spirit of God. God is exclusive, but Satan is inclusive. And man without God will always do Satan's bidding. You'll be his tool. You'll be his tool if you know not God. Now, it is interesting to note that God's instruction to Moses, though followed to the letter in the building of the tabernacle, grew dimmer and dimmer to the Israelites, so that God's exclusiveness yielded in much to Satan's inclusiveness. As history unfolded, laxness came upon the priests, and God's holy word with regard to the tabernacle fell on increasingly deafer ears. You know, this process recurs over and over again in history. Because of the sinful nature of man, it repeats itself in every attempt to bring about righteousness apart from Jesus Christ. Look at our own country, founded upon the principles of God's word, resulting in a republic, not a democracy. We've said that before, you know it. A Mrs. Powell of Philadelphia asked Benjamin Franklin, "Well, doctor, what have we got? A republic or a monarchy?" And with no hesitation whatsoever, Franklin responded, "A republic, if you can keep it." Boy, he knew the nature of man. You know, we started out with a republic, but I'm afraid we have not kept it, for our legislators shun reasoned, principled arguments in favor of party affiliation, poll results, pressure groups, political action committees, and self-aggrandizement. We have the idea that governing is simply putting one's finger up to measure which way the wind is blowing and then voting accordingly. Polls. Polls are an anathema to a republic. Polls simply tell me where my votes are. They don't give me a reasoned approach in which to decide how to vote. And I believe we are coming closer and closer to a democracy as we shed righteous judgment. You know, Proverbs says, "Lean not to the right or to the left, but judge righteous judgment." How many people you go up to you, are you from the right or from the left? Oh, I'm from the right, or I'm from the left. Well, where are the folks that judge righteously? Where are the folks that look at the reasoned argument to be for or against a proposal? And that's why I believe we're losing the republic, because the vast majority of people that go to the Congress are either right or left, and we're losing those that judge righteously according to righteous judgment. Where are they? They're not going to Washington. But God is indeed the righteous judge. God is indeed the perfect instructor. And everything about the tabernacle shows that righteousness, even when the tabernacle was in its travel mode. Now, much of God's instruction concerning the tabernacle was in regard to its portability. For even in this portability, much was taught as to the status the Israelites were to see themselves in, and as a matter of fact, what the status of the church is to see themselves in. And that status is this. And so many times we forget this in our daily walk. And that is, we are to see ourselves simply as pilgrims. For this present earth is not our home. You know, as Satan becomes more powerful, as Satan's program pervades the earth, it's so easy to wish that you could leave this home, this pilgrim journey, and go to God's home. But that's what we're supposed to see ourselves in, pilgrims. And this is to come from a mind that is based on faith. You know, faith is always looking at the eternal. Faith is always looking at where we're going. Not necessarily planting our feet on this earth, but always having a vision of where we're going, and where we're going is to Christ. We're pilgrims in this foreign land. Well, we'll stop there, and the Lord willing, continue next week. Father, thank you so much. Lord, what would we do without your word? We would be blind. We would be following the crowd. We would be part of the great leveling. We would simply belong to a group, hoping the group goes up instead of down, finding the lowest point, not striving for excellence, not thinking of this earth as a traveling place, a place of pilgrimage. We would be thinking that this is our eternal home, tools of Satan. Oh, Father, thank you so much for giving us your truth, your light, the bread that we eat. Thank you, Father, for prayer. And thank you that we can come to you, give thanksgiving and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ for what he's done for us. In his name we pray. Amen.